Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. If you visit the Missouri Department of Social Services website for information specific to SNAP benefits, what you'll see there is a blush pink box with red text that reads, "Due to the federal shutdown, the Food and Nutrition Services has instructed state agencies to temporarily suspend the issuance of November 2025 SNAP benefits, which are 100% federally funded." The homepage on Illinois' Department of Human Services website, which features a sky blue box, contains more information. Federal courts ordered the federal administration to continue paying for SNAP or food stamps during the government shutdown, it states. IDHS and the state of Illinois are reviewing these orders. SNAP November benefits remain on hold by the federal government until further notice or order by the courts. Even if the courts order payment, it is uncertain how long it will take for SNAP payments to be made. The Trump administration has told a federal judge it will not tap additional funds for SNAP recipients. That means about 42 million Americans will get only partial disbursements from the federal government this month. Altogether, these notifications and updates about payments amount to the same thing: continuing uncertainty about food aid for hundreds of thousands of people in Illinois and Missouri. Kristen Wild is the CEO of Operation Food Search, a nonprofit social services agency that distributes food and provides nutrition support in eastern Missouri and southern Illinois. Kristen, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Elaine.
So, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, has been in operation since 1964. And the current government shutdown has resulted in the longest suspension of this aid in the program's history. Kristen, typically people receiving these benefits get funds for food around the first of the month, and today is November 3rd. So under normal circumstances, what would individuals and families have done by now to make sure their households are nourished?
Yes. Families at this point in the month would typically have gotten a disbursement. The disbursements are given throughout the month, so some would get it later in the month. However, families would typically receive funding and be able to utilize that at grocery stores and other places where SNAP is accepted. The average household SNAP amount is $370. And there are 650,000 people in the state of Missouri who rely upon SNAP, and nearly 2 million people in the state of Illinois who rely on SNAP.
$370 a month. That is not a small amount of money.
It's not. So the absence of this is having a very detrimental effect on families. Mm-hmm. We've already seen families last week, before the SNAP shutdown, go to our partner agencies to get as much food as they could to stockpile because they're very concerned about not having access to these funds.
Mm-hmm. Now, a number of factors do go into how much a household is granted through SNAP. There's the size of the household, how much income a household is able to bring in, if any. And earlier this year, there was a law signed by President Trump that limits SNAP for individuals if they're unable to provide specific eligibility information, such as if the head of household is disabled. So these issues are what you and your partners at Operation Food Search are keeping track of. How have you all been able to help your clients through all of these changes and the uncertainty?
Fortunately, we are in a community that is so philanthropic. People have been rallying around this. In just the last week of October, we had 40 different food drives set up for Operation Food Search to benefit our community. Those are ones that we are aware of. We know that there are many more. We had about 1,000 donations, financial donations made. So what Operation Food Search is doing is we are garnering this extra support that we're receiving in the form of financial donations and food donations, purchasing more food, and increasing the amount that we're distributing to our 170 partner agencies. Those are food pantries, shelters, community sites. We're also providing vouchers in order to supply food through our metro market, which is like our mobile farmers market that goes throughout North City, North County, and now also in East St. Louis. So fortunately, we have had a wonderful community response. However, it is not enough to make up $370 per month on average per household. So we are doing everything we can, but we really, really hope that the funds will be released to the full extent.
Mm-hmm. Producer Olivia Mizell spoke with 32-year-old Lucy Short, who works full-time as a yoga teacher. She has a master's degree in teaching from Brown University and taught high school before pursuing yoga instruction full-time. Short said that she and many others don't fit people's picture of SNAP recipients' circumstances.
A lot of people assume that people who are receiving SNAP benefits are not working, don't have a job, are somehow trying to receive handouts and manipulate the system. I think that a lot of people on SNAP are gainfully employed and work really hard, or our families, and there's just so many people that are on it, and I don't think other people would imagine that they are on it just by knowing them. Yeah, and I just think everyone deserves to eat.
That was Lucy Short in conversation with Olivia Mizell on the assumptions made about people who typically receive SNAP benefits. What stands out to you in what Lucy Short said there?
She's spot on. We have many clients who work one or two or even three jobs, families who have multiple children. A lot of the SNAP households have people, families with children, elderly, disabled, veterans in them. And there are a lot of folks that receive SNAP benefits because of their income level, despite how hard they're working. But given the high cost of living, inflation that we've seen, grocery prices go up 20 to 25% in the last 4 to 5 years, it is just simply too difficult to meet all the requirements, housing, medical, food, that are necessary for a healthy life.
Mm-hmm. How do misconceptions, Kristen, about who receives food assistance and why, how does that affect the work that Operation Food Search does, generally, but especially in this moment?
We're really always fighting the stigma surrounding needing assistance. We've got children who take home food on the weekends through our Operation Backpack program. And, we put it in backpacks that are very discreet and just look like a book bag. We know that exists, the stigma. And we encourage people, if they need help, they need to reach out for it. They should not struggle alone. They should find local food pantries near them. They can do that by going to OperationFoodSearch.org. They also, if they potentially would qualify for free and reduced lunches and breakfasts at school, they should absolutely apply. Some school districts are universal free and reduced lunch schools, and every child has access. But in other districts, depending on the income level of the area, families have to apply for it. Mm-hmm. So right now is really a key time. Those meals are flowing, and we want to ensure that kids are fed to the extent possible.
Mm-hmm. We also would like to hear from you. What has your experience been with food assistance or food insecurity? What have you learned in supporting yourself or others with the suspension of SNAP? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpr.org. Kristen, so far we have talked about the how much and the who. And insofar as what Operation Food Search and your partners have been doing, you know, this suspension of SNAP is major news, and it is history in the making. And as we've mentioned, this is the longest Americans have been without this safety net since the precursor to SNAP was in existence. How has Operation Food Search and all of your partners braced for this kind of a situation in the past, that is, you know, a lapse in government funding?
You know, as you said, this is really unprecedented. We have dealt with other crises in the past. COVID, during the pandemic, there were a lot of folks that didn't have access, say, to meals at school, and people's lives were disrupted. There was a lot of unemployment. So we responded then with the tornado in May, another crisis that faced the St. Louis area. Again, we've had to be flexible. Our partners have had to be flexible in how and where food is getting distributed. But we've never experienced a shutdown of this federal safety net program. In those two other instances, there was federal funding available. So this is truly a unique situation. And yes, SNAP and food stamps started in 1964, but even prior to that, really back in the 1930s and 1939, there was a food stamp pilot program. So we've really had this type of safety net program for nearly 90 years. So to see a disruption like this is quite, it's making history, like you said.
Mm-hmm. What makes distribution different when the issue is lack of federal funding?
Well, of those who receive food assistance, about 90% of it comes from federal assistance programs, SNAP and WIC. And the food banks and food pantries make up about 10% of the food assistance. So our task is monumental. In the absence of that 90%, we are really in overdrive. Our partners are in overdrive. We're doing everything we can to shrink that gap. But 90% is a huge, huge amount to make up.
Mm-hmm. We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation about the loss of SNAP benefits with Kristen Wild, CEO of Operation Food Search. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from the St. Louis Public Library Foundation. During these challenging times, free access to digital resources is a necessity. You can help our community stay connected. Support your St. Louis Public Library at slpl.org.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with Kristen Wild, CEO of Operation Food Search. We're discussing what a continued suspension of SNAP benefits will mean for households in the St. Louis region now and going forward. We heard from Lucy Short a little bit earlier, and she had also shared that losing SNAP benefits will have personal impacts. Her worry, however, is how people will manage at the broader community level.
Personally, I know that I'm going to have to eat less, and that will probably mean kind of like rationing food and skipping meals and getting really creative with it. Beyond that, I'm just concerned on like a bigger picture level. That's my main concern, is just like how it's going to impact our community at large, because I know that like lots of people are going to be going without meals. I'm really lucky that I have like a strong support network, and I'm sure I'll be leaning on them too. But yeah, I know that a lot of people don't.
That was St. Louis resident Lucy Short, a yoga teacher who benefits from SNAP, in conversation with producer Olivia Mizell about how a lack of SNAP benefits will impact communities at large. Kristen, before the break, you had talked about people stockpiling. That means, I would imagine, that the kinds of food that people are keeping are, they're not fresh foods, obviously. What are the impacts on the community level when that is what is going on, where it is food, but not the most nutritious kinds of food?
Yes, and that's really a year-round issue, is that those who face food insecurity often are lacking in the healthier options, because healthier food tends to be more expensive. You know, protein, having fresh fruits and vegetables, you know, depending on someone's shopping habits, it's simply pricier to have a really healthy diet. And so I see incredible implications on health. There's a lot of individuals that we serve who have chronic health conditions, anything from diabetes to heart disease, high blood pressure. And if they do not have access to the healthier foods, their conditions will get worse. Mm-hmm. So this will definitely have an impact on our community. And it's in everybody's best interests that these SNAP benefits are reinstated and people have access to the funds.
You talked earlier about how many local organizations and businesses whose focus is not on food security have planned food drives since the federal government announced it would withhold SNAP benefits during the government shutdown. And we heard again from St. Louis resident Lucy Short that she has a concern about people having to rely on community support to get food. What are your thoughts on that, particularly this element of having to lean on philanthropy?
Yes, it's wonderful right now. We're seeing this outpouring of support from individuals, from organizations, but it is not necessarily sustainable depending on the length of time this lasts. And again, we can't. It would be very, very difficult to make up 90% of the food assistance that has essentially evaporated as of November 1st. We're so grateful. There are so many organizations. We're finding out about some of the fundraisers and food drives on social media that we aren't even informed about. 21 businesses in the Webster Groves community are all bringing it their food drive drop-off points. Schnucks is running a food drive at all of their locations in Missouri and outside of Missouri through November 11th. The Neighbors Credit Union, they're serving as drop-off points for food as well. Again, we've got so many organizations who are stepping up, and we are so, so grateful. But we can't rely upon this on a long-term basis.
Mm-hmm. We have Eric, who is calling from University City. Eric, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for all the great work you're doing. And you kind of answered part of my question. Are the grocery stores participating? And is there any collective impact kind of location where we could find out about this, where the drop-off places are? Or how, what are you seeing, and how can we help you really get the word about this? This is really horrible what this administration is doing right now, and not funding this and making it difficult for people to get food.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, are there any programs for federal workers who aren't getting paid also?
Yes.
I was going to call a grocery store and see if they'd be willing to have donations made, and they'd give away food cards or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything on that front?
Yes. So Schnucks is doing a food drive. I know the Straub's in Webster. We've got a couple other grocery stores that are aligned with KSDK, Five on Your Side, who are participating in food drives. I encourage you to, and other listeners, to go to operationfoodsearch.org, where you can find a list of some of the larger food drives that are happening. Also encourage those listeners who need help to go to operationfoodsearch.org. SNAP.org so they can find the closest pantries where they can access food. And we are partnering with John Michel and Social Kitchen to distribute grocery bags. And he has food trucks where he's distributing hot free meals to service folks and federal workers who are located near Scott Air Force Base. But that is another concern, that we've got federal workers, many of whom have now missed two paychecks, who maybe typically don't have to rely upon SNAP or any type of food assistance, but they need the assistance now.
Mm-hmm. And we have talked on this show about food insecurity for folks who are part of military families. For more information on SNAP alternatives in the St. Louis region, you can also visit our website, Eric. That's stlpr.org/snap. And Eric, thank you again for calling. This delay in funds. So in the last hour or so, the New York Times reported that the Trump administration has said it's not going to tap additional funds for SNAP recipients. And that means that people will be getting only partial disbursements from the federal government in the month of November. In conversation with producer Olivia Mizell, SNAP recipient Lucy Schwartz said uncertainty about whether she will receive nutrition benefits comes with significant pressure.
I mean, it definitely makes me a lot more stressed. Like, I think it just kind of puts everyone into survival mode, which obviously isn't a healthy place to be living and existing. And, you know, I think it creates a lot of food noise for people too, because it's just a constant stress of not knowing, you know, when or if, I guess, benefits are going to kick back in.
Kristen, what are you hearing with regard to pressure households are experiencing because SNAP benefits are being held up, you know, whether it be from partners or directly from individuals?
Yeah, we've definitely heard that there is just a lot of stress surrounding the uncertainty. And with the latest that potentially this $5 billion in contingency fund could be released based on the Massachusetts and Rhode Island judges' rulings on Friday, that is not the full amount that typically is disbursed in a month. Typically, it's $8 to $9 billion. So even if this $5 billion is released, that's not a full benefit amount. And it's going to take time for the federal funds to filter down to the states and for the states to administer the funds to individuals' EBT cards. And it's going to vary state by state depending on staffing and interpretation and needing to determine what this partial payment will be. So even in the best case scenario, families will not be getting the SNAP benefits, you know, in this first week or so, and the amount is still very much up in the air. So it's creating a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm. The timing of this halt of SNAP benefits adds another layer to this issue. It is the start of holiday season. You know, Thanksgiving is in just a few weeks, and Christmas is around the corner, and this is cultural significance. What effect does the holidays have on the work you and your colleagues and partners do on a regular basis? And now with what is happening with SNAP benefits, what are you looking at?
Yeah, like you said, on a regular basis, this time of year tends to be especially challenging when kids are on break from school during Thanksgiving break, during winter break. They don't have access to free and reduced lunch and breakfast that they otherwise do. And it's a time when families like to gather around the table and enjoy food together. And so it's typically a more stressful time for families who face food insecurity, but now with the suspension of SNAP, it's magnified.
Mm-hmm. As we finish here, is there something that you would like listeners to be thinking about or doing as we're facing this moment, not just as individuals, but as a community, as a collective?
You know, I encourage folks to reach out to their elected officials, to do anything they can to help meet this immediate need, whether it is conducting a food drive or a creative fundraiser or making donations. You know, anything will help. It's going to be challenging to make up for the SNAP gap, but recognizing that there are hundreds of thousands of individuals in our region who are impacted and, you know, doing anything they can, encourage people to reach out to those that may need help, to help them, you know, get in touch with their closest pantry and identify food sources right now.
Mm-hmm. Kristen Wild is CEO of Operation Food Surge. Kristen, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Elaine.
And we do want to hear from you. What has your experience been with food assistance or food insecurity? What have you learned in supporting yourself or others with the suspension of SNAP? Leave us a voicemail at 314-516-6397. That's 516-NEWS, or email us at talk@stlpr.org. Your stories are important and they matter.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet
and I, Elaine Shaw.
Production assistance from Olivia Mizell.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.